Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Right. You know, today I was thinking, I was praying about what to preach about. And at the same time, thinking about the fact that I've had one of the worst couple of months in my life. And I've been feeling very low and anxious and stressed and quite ill, actually. And, you know, I don't want to bore you with the details because you don't really want to be here all day, do you? But, you know, to be honest, I have had a real pity party, if I can say that. So I thought, I know, I'll preach on dealing with anxiety and stress. And I know I'm not on my own here. And that most of you have suffered or are suffering with anxiety and stress. So, we live in an age of anxiety and stress. That's how we are. But you know, whether it's personal concerns, family matters, financial needs, health issues, we all have reasons to worry and fret. Sometimes critical situations strike immediate fear into our hearts. And you know, that is only natural. However, much of our anxiety is with us. It's associated with everyday problems. We take our worries to bed with us. We wake up with them. We carry them around with us all day. This is not how God wants us to live. He can settle our hearts in such a way that we can live with the stresses of life, yet we can still experience that peace and joy.
Amen.
Anxiety is not just a modern day problem. It was also an issue for those who lived in the Old Testament times. In Psalm 37, verse 7 to 8, it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret." By the time the Roman Empire ruled the world, there were plenty of reasons for anxiety. When Jesus came on the scene, he addressed the issue of worry in his sermon in Matthew 6. 25-34. "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So, like as many as you may know, I like to colour coordinate what I wear, even to the point that everything has to match, even when I'm walking the dog. You know, God is speaking to me about this, and he's telling me, get a life. I can wear wellies, but they have to be matching in the right colour. But you know, his solutions sound so simple, yet we still struggle to apply them. Anxiety is a condition in which the mind is being pulled in two directions. This results in an emotional state of distress, and it dominates our thoughts and it disrupts our sleep. It could be fueled by present circumstances or fear or what would happen in the future. It's basically a reaction to our circumstances, but it's also a choice. Instead of giving in to worry, we can cast all our anxiety on the Lord because he cares for us. Amen. 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Yes. So in Jesus' sermon in Matthew 6, he points out why we so often give in to worry and what we can do to change our response. We get feelings of inadequacy. Problems can so overwhelm us that we feel insignificant and incapable of doing anything about them. But Jesus advises us to look at the birds in verse 26. They seem so small and insignificant, yet God takes upon himself the responsibility to feed them. We never see birds planting seeds and harvesting crops. They are totally inadequate for that task. You know, they can't even hold a hoe or a shovel, can they? But you know, if God cares so much for them, then we can be certain that he will be faithful to meet our needs as well. Amen. So, our attempt to change things we can't control. Jesus reminds us that many situations are beyond our ability to alter. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? I'm so preaching to myself because I have not been living this life, I'm telling you. But whenever we encounter circumstances that we can't change, the only wise option is to turn them over to the only one who can handle them. Amen. God. Yes. When we try to control them, we're demonstrating unbelief and multiplying the intensity of our pain and frustration. Our failure to trust God to provide our needs, this is something we've got to look at. So after explaining how the Lord clothes the lilies of the field with more glory than even Solomon, Jesus tells us not to worry about clothing because he will provide whatever we need. When we worry that our needs won't be met, we demonstrate such a lack of faith in God. So part of the problem is that we don't know what our needs truly are. Sometimes the situation may look like the Lord has let us down. But you know, in reality, he's supplying a need that we may not even know we have. When the Apostle Paul suffered so much mistreatment and hardship, Scripture never records him complaining about his circumstances. Shipwrecks, beatings were not happy times for Paul, but he endured them with an inner peace and confidence because he knew and trusted the Lord. So instead of focusing on obtaining the necessities of life, Jesus tells us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God's kingdom is his rule and authority over our lives. And his righteousness is Christ's character worked out in us in such a way that we reflect him. When we make it our top priority to acknowledge him as our Lord and Saviour, seeking to walk obediently in his ways, God promises to supply whatever else we need. He knows exactly what is best for us, as well as how and when to provide it. What an amazing God we've got. So try to live tomorrow today. Planning ahead, it's good, but sometimes our overloaded calendars lead to an overwhelming sense of time pressure. You know, I know many of you, I've got a reputation, and I'm glad this is the only reputation I've got, really. But, you know, they call me Bev Late, not Bev Early. And I have got an issue with my time management. And it's not that I am lazing about doing nothing, and that's why I can sometimes be late. It's because I'm trying to do too much before I'm going somewhere, and then I leave myself late, and my time management skills aren't good. And I don't realise how long it takes me to put my face on. I'm thinking 5 minutes, it's probably more 15, 20, yeah? So I've got to learn time management. But you know what happens? When I'm late, I get stressed because I know that somebody's expecting me. So I get stressed on my way. Sorry, Vicky. She's so gracious. What she does when we arrange to meet and I say I'm going to be there at a certain time, she just carries on working, knowing that I'll probably be another half an hour. But she says, don't worry, I'll get plenty done in the meantime. But the thing is, I get stressed because I'm late. So I need to manage that. And so then I won't be getting stressed. So God is really speaking to me. But you know, Jesus tells us, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So instead of becoming anxious about our responsibilities and commitments, we should turn our schedules over to God. If we'll wake up each morning with our thoughts on the Lord, committing ourselves to do whatever he says, we'll be able to go through the day with peace and joy as we watch him work out everything in our lives. So to overcome worry, we ought to adopt an attitude of joy and thankfulness. Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians from a cold, damp Roman prison cell. Yet he continually spoke about rejoicing. Instead of being anxious, he advised the Philippians to pray about everything with thanksgiving. There's so many things for which we can thank God, that he walks with us through hard times. He protects and provides, and he always keeps his promises. You know, when we focus on these things, God's peace guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, no matter how difficult our circumstances may be. The call of God never takes us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. Amen. He has promised to meet all of our needs and to guard us with his peace and joy. The choice is ours. We can either live with mistrust and anxiety or trust the Lord to provide and watch over us. He has all the power to meet our needs and he has the wisdom to know what is best. It might not be what we'd like, but his ways are always right, and his motive is always love. Amen. So what kind of situations or issues cause you to worry or feel anxious? Do you tend to worry more about what's happening now or what could happen in the future? What are the physical, emotional, and spiritual consequences of continually carrying a load of anxiety? How is worry an act of unbelief or distrust of God? What changes do you need to make in your thought patterns, in your activities and prayers, in order to be free from all that worry and stress? Jesus, he suffered stress. Can you imagine a life in which you heal people and talk people about God all the time? Would that be stressful? So what stress would Jesus face? In Matthew 12, 13 to 15, it says, then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. So what stress does Jesus face in healing? This gives us a small glimpse into the amount of stress Jesus was under, because he was at the centre of a war between good and evil. In Luke 5, verse 15 to 16, it says, "However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." Do you feel stress or guilt over not completing all of the good things that you need to do? This scripture is just fascinating. Jesus decided to take personal prayer time instead of healing. This shows that even those doing the most important work should take time to withdraw and recharge. So do you feel stressed? If by trusting God you eliminate the worry part of stress, how much stress will be left? For what remains, why not treat it with trust and quiet times with God? That's so important. So when we see the all-powerful God on the throne of the universe, God our Father committed to our good, we are relieved of much stress. And the stress we must still experience leaves us far richer. You know, having a biblical perspective is seeing life through God's eyes. It's seeing order in chaos, use in the useless, and good in the bad. If we are to develop eyes to see God's hand in everything, we must believe, not necessarily understand, what Scripture says about the purpose of stress. Stress is an effective tool in the hands of our God, a tool that is intended both for his glory and our good. Let's look at some ways God uses stress. God uses stress to get our attention. God created our bodies. He designed them to send us messages. If I stick my hand in a fire, my body will send me a message quickly and clearly. Whoops. But you know, if I ignore it, I'll pay the price, won't I? C.S. Lewis said, "Pain is God's megaphone." Some of us are hard of hearing. We ignore physical, mental, and spiritual warning signs. God wants us to tune our ears to the messages he sends us through our minds and our bodies. So God uses stress to help us redefine or rediscover our priorities. Everyone has priorities. Some have never chosen or experienced the right ones and need to redefine them. Others have long known the right priorities and merely need to rediscover them. We've tasted right priorities, but we've allowed ourselves to drift away from them. We've replaced fellowship with entertainment, giving with buying, and family time with television. By abandoning our God-given priorities, we set ourselves up to learn a hard lesson. So God uses stress to draw us to himself. Time and again, it was said of the people of Israel, but in their distress, they tuned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. That's in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 4. It was in Jonah's darkest hour, in his most stressful circumstances, that he said this: "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me." Jonah, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2. The Psalms are full of references of turning to God, seeking him, and finding him in times of stress, intense stress. "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. For his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." Psalm 18, verse 6. "I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me." Psalm 120, verse 1. When our lives are comfortable and stress-free, too often we withdraw from the Lord into our own world of spiritual independence and isolation. Smug, self-satisfied, we forget what life is really all about. But as the thirsty seek for water, those under stress often seek God. You know, many non-believers have come to Christ, and many believers have returned to him in times of stress. God uses stress to discipline us. Quoting Solomon's word to his son, the writer of Hebrews, often what he calls a word of encouragement. Hebrews 12, verse 5 to 7. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. So to some of us, this doesn't sound so encouraging. Discipline is corrective. It is corrective, not revengeful. God sends stressors not to get back at us for doing wrong, but to deepen our dependence on him in order that we can do right. So though the stressful experience may seem excruciating at the time, it's ultimately all for good. God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Amen. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But you know, later on, however, what happens is it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. So God uses stress to strengthen our faith. In 1 Peter 1 verse 7 tells us, these trials have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be provided genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. So in the ordeal of stress, as we draw on our resources in Christ, he gives us faith and strength to crack through and rise above the life that is under a curse. Above everything, pray or get someone to pray with you. You know, Lorraine and Mike prayed for me on Thursday night and I was crying. I was shaking uncontrollably and the Spirit of God came over me and I instantly felt so calm and peaceful. It's not God's will for us to live under pressure and be stressed. He wants us to be peaceful, relaxed, and being aware of God's presence and enjoy every day that he gives us. We are partners with God, and when you pray, open your ears and listen to what the problem is. We need to pray and obey, and you can exchange a life of stress for a life of peace if you're willing to get to the root of some of the issues of why you're having this stress. Amen. You've got two options. You can continue to be stressed out until we fall apart, or you can learn to not be affected by it, not letting stress get into you. Peace is a quiet heart. Amen. Jesus was surrounded by stressful situations. Jesus was rejected by family and friends. He was accused of being evil and having a wicked motive. Peter, he denied him, and he was his close friend. Judas betrayed him, and Jesus knew the kind of death that he was going to go through. And yet, through all of that, what did he give us? John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave you. With you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That comes from Jesus when he's gone through all that. So you really, really can have an inner peace, but you have to let Jesus rise up inside you. No peace means no power. If you can stay peaceful in any situation, then Satan just loses control. It's not God's will for us to live under pressure and to get stressed. So whatever you're doing, whatever's going through, you're going through in your life, just remember that Jesus died on the cross. He took all of your stress on himself, all your anxieties, your illnesses, everything, your fears, your iniquities. He took them all on the cross. So hand them over, physically hand them over to Jesus and receive the peace that passes all understanding for your life. and live a blessed, stress-free, fulfilled life. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.